Hey guys, welcome to Game Chat on March the 19th of 2019. We are talking about Wonder Song. We're finishing up our 3-week series on the game. So today we'll be talking about the last, I guess, a couple of acts in the game, as well as our final thoughts, and we will score it. So we will start off with our intros, so that way you guys who are listening to the recording can know who you're listening to. And our intro question this week is, which Wonder Song town would you most want to live in, and why? And you don't have to know the specific name of the town, because Lord knows I probably won't. So you can just be like, yeah, it's the town where this and this happened, or the town with the weird kin, or the animal, like, kindred that people have, the little animal creatures, that pets that people have. So I will accept all of that as answers, I guess. So anyways, starting at the top.
Yo, this is Franco, and I would have to go with a town that is not a town, the pirate ship.
Okay.
Yes, with the mermaids and, in a word, coffee.
A lot of coffee. Would you sing along with them?
Oh, certainly. How can you not sing along
with them? Yeah, I guess. Especially when you have a lot of coffee in your system.
Yes.
Makes it easier. All right, and next? That's you.
See here, this is Kevin. It'd be tough. It'd be either...
What?
It would have to probably be the witch's city.
Okay. Cool.
Because it's just interesting and diverse and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Next.
This is Chris. I don't know. I think I almost want to say the place with all the animals there, but I don't know if I'd be able to stand the people.
Mm, yeah. Because
they all seem like a bunch of douches.
A good part of them, yeah.
I don't know. I think if I could have the animals and that little town where the pirates go.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Probably would be good there. Maybe. I think. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds good. Sounds good. This is Steph. I was just trying to find the name of the town to not sound like I'm a complete... I would probably go for the town where the Manny and Ash and them are in. I can't think of the name of it, though.
Oh, the band?
Yes.
There, yeah, okay.
It's completely escaped me. The town where the band comes from, it's just a little town of really, like, it was the one that had the, I can't remember exactly, like, what your issue was there. I know you had to get the band together. I think that was a big thing. Either that or, oddly enough, the Happy Factory is, where the bard is from. It was weird and kind of depressing when you were there, but it was an interesting town, I guess. And when you visit it at the end, it seems to be kind of on the upturn. So, I just thought that was interesting. Yeah. So we'll get into our chat. For those of you who are listening and unaware of Wonder Song, and I mean, this is chat 3, so maybe you should check out the rest of our chats at thegamechat.net, where you can find our other 2 recordings. But a little summary is, Wonder Song is a puzzle adventure video game developed by Greg Lobanov. It's a music-themed game. It follows the bard as they go on a quest. They, as in he and his witch friend Miriam, to gather pieces of a song that will save the universe from destruction. It was released last year. So discussing, first we'll go systematically and just kind of talk about the different areas. I don't really know where the acts begin and end. So I'm just kind of giving a nice little summary of what's in the areas that we'll be talking about. First we'll go over like the Sun Overseer's Temple, which is where the Moon Fairy was trying to free her Sun Fairy. Was trying to free her friend, his friend, whatever. Then also, let's see, so we have that, and then that's where Miriam gets injured by Audrey, as well as you sing the song that unites the two kingdoms. Did you guys find, especially like in the Sun Overseer's Temple, where you had to deal with like darkness and finding your way through darkness and the creatures that spotted you, did you guys have any trouble with those puzzles in that area? At all?
I had a little bit of trouble with some of the... I'm trying to remember. What is the Sun Temple, the one that has the orbs that grow?
No, it's the one with the monsters with the eyes that you have to avoid.
Yeah.
That the spotlight thing. That was like the spotlight.
Oh, yeah. Mechanic.
The keys. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that one was... It was a little bit tedious, especially some of the platforming for the, because like the bar just moves so fast, some cases. So the platforming when you had to run from the big bad guy that was guarding the Sun King, was a little bit of a hassle.
I had so much trouble there. Go ahead.
That was the one that kind of confused me the most, because I had no problems getting through the majority of that level, but when it came to that last getting the last key, it was like, okay, so is there a way to avoid him, or is it just like there's no way? You just need to run, grab the key, and then just run as fast as you can away from him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the...
I think it pretty much was you had to go and run and grab the key.
Yeah, because...
I had gotten it sometimes where you got it, and then you weren't visible for a second, and then he turns and sees you.
Yeah. Because I thought you had to go back all the way up and then around, but then I realized as I was running from him the first time that there was a path... to go and get back. So I was like, okay. And then I was able to do it it took a few tries to get the key again once I realized that that's what the mechanic was. And then, and then once I finally successfully timed it right, I didn't have too much of a trouble getting to the place to,
the keyhole.
Yeah. So,
it was kind of a departure from, The whole level sets you up for A, and then all of a sudden, well, you've been avoiding. Now just dash.
Yeah.
That my first playthrough, because again, I was playing it before release for a review, so I didn't have any way to look up hints or anything or walkthroughs. That was almost a rage quit moment for me, because I tried. Like, I had, again, because you don't know. Like, I mean, I knew this time, and it was... This time, I think I made it on my second try. I think I was only caught once. But, like, that first time, like, again, you're trying to figure out what you're supposed to do. Or I kept trying to figure out, okay, can I grab the key for him not to see me? Because all the other times, it's about them not seeing you.
Yeah.
You know? Like, there's no way... And so then I kept trying to figure out how to do that. And then once I was like, okay, so now I have... So, no, there's no way to get the key without him noticing. So, Yeah, it took me forever. Especially, I had the most trouble with like climbing the, like there's a place where you have to jump on platforms like going vertically.
Mm-hmm.
And that tripped me up so many times. I was almost done. I was just like, yeah, I'm just going to stop here and just write about what I know so far. Yeah, finally got through it. But yeah, I think that was a little, I think there should have been a way for you to, I mean, I understand like it kind of gave it a nice kind of oomph to be like, you're having to run from it and kind of a nice crescendo to that. But there was no build up to it. I mean, I guess there was only one other instance of like that the ghost had to see you, or whatever the little spotlight guys were. Or at least that I couldn't find a way not to get one of the keys before that, but without a ghost noticing me or whatever they're called. Yeah.
I'll have to go back and look at that and some of the other spots of the game with the developer commentary, which I unlocked.
Mm, yeah. Yeah, I didn't even know anything about that until I was watching the video about the secret area today. But yeah, that's really cool. I want to do that sometime.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had trouble with that. I mean, other than that, then it's just overseer stuff after that in this area. Did you have any favorite moments or characters from this part? I personally loved the moon fairy.
Buddy is the best. He is the best.
Is Buddy the frog looking one?
No, Buddy is the moth. Okay, I forget what the frog was called.
Yeah. Buddy was for those listening, Buddy was the moon fairy, and they were just kind of like very like they were very like cautious,
timid.
Very timid, and just like, I don't know if I can do it. I've been trying. I guess I'll just have to be really brave. And it was wonderful. It was wonderful. And then like once you found their friend, which is like this little frog fairy looking thing, which I guess is like, I would guess it's the sun fairy since this was the moon fairy.
Yeah.
Which the sun fairy was fun too, because he was just like a frog and he'd be like, yup. And then they would play a sound that sounded exactly like kind of like a frog. Yup.
Yup.
Oh yeah, I'd love to.
Okay. Okay. yeah, but they were very interesting and memorable.
I loved the moon fairy though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was.
He's
it was
good
great.
Good boy.
And then you get to after you help out. Oh yeah, you're because the fairies want to leave. They want to leave the spirit world, and so Miriam flies them into kind of like a portal thing, and is struck down by the hero Audrey. Which is pretty rough. Miriam's kind of like down for the count for a bit. Like when I first played the game, I thought she was dead.
Well, she goes
at first she doesn't say anything though. She lays there for a bit without saying anything. And I was like, oh God. Because like the game, you know, the game has those like traumatic moments, and I was like, this game is like, I could see it turning that way. I could see it being like, oh, one of the characters died.
Right. Yep.
Well, but that was an interesting moment. Audrey was really, the hero was really upset that you let the spirits out. What you drawing, Frank?
No, it's something. I'm sorry. something on my laptop was annoying me. A little thing, and I was.
Okay. It sounds like you were making like an impression, like you know, drawing,
getting rid of an impression.
But yeah, so the hero strikes Miriam down. You have to carry Miriam down the mountain like freaking Sam and Frodo, which just tore my heart out the first time I played it. That was one of my favorite parts was just helping her, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I was genuinely worried about her, you know, when I first played it.
I love Miriam as a character.
Did it surprise you that the hero attacked Miriam like she did?
It surprised, like, more of, like, that she was able to actually get into, like, the spirit world a little bit. But that she would actually, like, go and attack Miriam, no. Because she's a horrible person.
Yeah, we'll get to that later. Miriam ends up going, you know, she's okay. She ends up going home to visit her grandma for a bit. She's kind of, I think, cut down a bit by...
She also loses hope, too, that they're actually going to
accomplish
the...
For
the
sure.
So next you're
having to, and also during that time you sing for the two kingdoms who are down at the bottom of the mountain fighting. So you sing a song for them and, I guess the second time it works. And so they both unite and are at peace.
Extremely reluctantly, but yeah.
Yeah. A little reluctantly, but they worked it out. So then you have to make your way up the mountain. I think, what is it, for one of the overseers? Is that the reason you're going up the mountain?
No,
or?
To fight the, well, kind of.
Oh, the Dream King. The Dream King.
Yeah, because you want to save the, is it the Dream King? Or no, because you want to.
The
other overseer. The
heart. It's the wolf.
Yeah.
Yes,
trying to bring the wolf back.
Yes, the one of heart or love or whatever they call it. You go and walk past a giant abandoned, like, Asian-inspired Buddhist temple.
Yeah,
like the symbols basically. I think the temple stuff was for Aya herself or whatever, but it basically looked like the Earth Nation.
I liked some of the conversations in that temple. Like one of them, like it was very to me. It seemed like very.
This is going to happen.
Yeah. Well, and like old, like to me, growing up in a religious environment, it was very like old school church conversations of like, because, you know, Christianity kind of believes, you know, kind of thinks that the world's going to end eventually. And so it's kind of like, oh, this is the way it's just supposed to go. And then this one lady was like, oh, you know, well, you know, we're just insects. No. We're less than insects. We're like the atoms that insects are, the atoms that surround insects. And just that kind of low vision of yourself, I guess, that low esteem of yourself. There were some really interesting conversations in that temple. There's someone posted a picture of the two of them hugging goodbye. You're having to find your way up the mountain where you meet these I loved the sky wells in this area, like, or whatever they are, like the, walruses, like the flying walrus type things.
Well, before that, you have to go through the entire cave.
You run into
the beast, which the bard thinks is one of the beasts that he originally ran into.
Yeah.
And the beast is like, what?
Yeah.
And one of the birds you had rescued earlier is like, oh, he's a good guy. Help him out.
So did you guys have any trouble with any of the puzzles and stuff in this area, or did anything stand out to you that you liked?
Once you got the bug part, it's like, okay. Mm-hmm. And it's just different features of the bugs, you know, mm-hmm. lifting, pulling.
Yeah.
I know for sure I probably would not have found the secret dance before the cave if I didn't have a guide. It probably would have taken me a while to actually, it would have taken me a while because you had to go like all the way up to the left. Mm. So you can get the dab.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I have that one.
The bugs creep me the heck out.
it did get to a point to where they were just everywhere. And then when they form the big columns of bugs.
Yeah. I was just like, ew, 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 ew.
I did find it funny though when it got to the point where you would have, you know, accidentally landed on a bug if you were to jump and like land, you would have done a like multiple cartwheel back to where you started.
Yeah, there was no way in this world you were going to step on those bugs ever.
Yeah.
I thought that was really, it was just a really interesting mechanic to throw in, I guess. And it totally, and it was, it didn't even feel thrown in because it totally feels like a part of the bard's character to be like, no, I'm not going to step on these bugs. These bugs deserve life. You know, because I think he explains to the hero later, whenever you're in the cave-in and the bugs come and rescue you, you know, and she's like, they moved that rock, like, blah, blah, blah. And the bard's like, it's hard to think that you don't matter to anyone or that you feel insignificant. That's why I don't kill the bugs. Yeah. And it was just a really sweet and endearing way of looking at it, and totally with his MO, like totally something that the bard would do. So it was just a cool mechanic, I think, that someone came up with and put it in there, and it was great. I remember the first time I played, I had trouble with the birds before that a little bit. Because there were some areas where you had to land like on a couple, like on a platform, and then you had to call the same bird again and then use the same bird to get up a little bit higher. But it was okay.
You ran into like the, they're essentially almost like narwhals combined with like sea bunnies.
I love them so much. They speak to me, because for those listening, like you run into them and said, like, they're kind of like weird narwhal sea, like sky walruses, like they fly in the air and you can ride them and they help you get across the crevice, you know, help get across, you know, from one platform, from one cliff to the next cliff, during this like big snowstorm that keeps getting worse. And you have to feed them crystals, or else they just get like, because as you ride on them,
one specific one who's they, like all
yeah,
like
yeah.
I don't have a lightning bolt,
but I'm sure all the other one, ones. But I'm sure if you can't ride all the other ones, but if you could ride all the other ones, they may have done the same thing.
Yeah.
But so this little guy would get very, very sad pretty quickly, and so you had to feed him a crystal and he would become happy again. And they just, he just made the saddest sound whenever he was like following you to the next area and he was sad. Oh my gosh. I remember my first playthrough, it took me a little bit to figure out, like, I seemed to have a lot more trouble with it, but it was a lot smoother this time.
That area was just for me at least a tick tedious. It was like, oh god, I gotta go back, get some more crystal. He's tired again. Oh geez.
Frank's like, get with the program, please. Right.
Is there somewhere I can find super crystals? Does he doesn't get tired?
Oh yeah, I could, Yeah, a few of the times you're like, ugh.
Yeah, I remember my first time I had trouble with that last cliff, like the one where the wind's like fighting against you.
Mm-hmm.
Because it took me a while to get like, oh, you need to go a little bit up and over instead of just straight over. So that way you can like, when he's sad and he's going down for the count, you can kind of just like fall onto the cliff. Yeah, so, and then from there, you get to...
the wolf.
Yeah, I think that's the wolf at the top. And then once you get to the wolf, the hero enters the picture. Yes, she tries to take the potion of power that you made her. And since it wasn't the right ingredients for it when you made it, she just kind of doubled over in pain and fell to the ground. And the wolf got angry and stole her sword, and you guys are in a cave-in.
Yep.
Yeah, I wish it did more damage than that to her.
You what?
Wish it did more damage than that to her.
Yeah.
The hero.
To Audrey, the hero. Yeah, so now you're in a cave-in with the hero. Yeah.
And she tells you that that she's, well, you learn that the one rainbow hair girl's name is Alala or something like that.
It's I can't pronounce it. Ayala. Yeah, E-Y-A-L-A.
Yeah. And then she tells you that she told her to buzz off because she was ordering around to do stuff and was lying to both of you.
Yeah, oh,
like, this is what she tells you.
Yeah, she doesn't. She does say that the Ayala was ordering her around. She doesn't quite. And then she kind of goes into, yeah, she was saying that you weren't important. Like, she was talking to the bard. Oh, she was saying that you weren't important because the bard was saying, you know, that was talking about how Ayala was talking to him. And so she was trying to say, oh, well, she lied to both of us. Yeah. And she seemed to kind of capitalize on that. How did you guys feel about that conversation? What did you guys think?
And then she also was like, oh, before I became the hero, I was nothing because I was just like this. Or she describes it like smart, strong girl or whatever. But like she didn't have like a giant magical sword to make her awesome.
Right. Go ahead, Kevin.
I originally believed her.
Mm-hmm.
Which changed a little bit later on. Mm-hmm. But I originally believed her because I didn't really trust Yala fully. Because she's going between both you and her.
Yeah. Anybody else?
It's you know, it's kind of a situation where both the hero and Yala are kind of like giving you stories, and you're like, I don't really know who to believe because it's like your personal experiences, both of them are like not being, you know, 100% forthright, and you're just forthright with you, and you're just, you don't know who to believe, you know, what to do.
Yeah.
Even at the end, I mean, I don't even, you know, was, you know, Ayala's true intentions, who knows? I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I'm sorry, Frank.
No, that's basically her duplicitous nature, I guess.
I know my first playthrough, I believed her as well. I was like, oh, the hero is opening up to me. She's turning a new leaf. She's becoming a better person. I really did believe it. And I think just because like you want her to be better, you know, especially since that she's, you know, people celebrate her and, you know, and I think also like kind of, you know, not kind of as a female, but as a female, I kind of wanted her to be a good person You know, like, I was like, oh, a female Kira, this is great. And then, like, you know, as she started being a little more duplicitous, I was like, oh, this is, you know, it's her turnaround moment. Like, she's going to start helping us. Like, we'll defeat a greater evil at the end. Like, this is great. And so, yeah, I believed her. Like, I kind of felt, I think still, like, even though I believed her, I still felt that she was still kind of, like, holding back something, you know? But the conversation, going off of the writing of the conversation, it was just really well written, I think. And I think they really hit it out of the park of, like, making you think that. And also at the same time, even though you wanted to believe her and maybe you did believe her, you still were kind of like, oh, I don't know.
Right.
But
Yeah, you really thought that this was, you know, like you said, this is going to be the beginning of her redemption arc.
Yeah, you know, it was kind of a Tinder moment, yeah. Especially with through their body language, with them, like, you know, both kind of like on the floor, sitting down and just kind of like, you know, talking to each other. And like their whole body posture during that conversation and the little like noises that the bard would make, like, oh, like, really, like. It was just like those little tiny things. It's just that little like change in positioning and that little sound did wonders to like how you felt about the conversation. So yeah, it was well done. It was a well done moment. So yeah, you and Audrey, the bugs come and save you. Audrey is very skeptical, but goes along with it. And you come across the Heart Fairy, which is a little tiny dog with wings.
The best.
I didn't know what the fairy was, and then you find out.
Yeah,
it becomes like a prince.
I love it. Like, I could tell because. It says like wolf at the beginning when it's greeting you, but I just adore it.
Well, I knew it was a dog. I just
didn't oh, okay.
know. Girl dog or a boy dog.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. And then like it was nice. It was nice.
Yeah, they're like, Oh yes, the Heart Fairy.
Yeah.
And then it makes puns and then it does it does a womp womp noise. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Possibly my favorite. Possibly my favorite fairy. Yes, possibly. Yeah. Yes, yeah. I got you. It took a bit, Kevin. That kind of my blonde roots came in a little bit there. So you talk with the Heart Fairy. I'm trying to think. Do you meet the Heart Fairy? Do you actually come across the Heart Fairy?
The Heart Fairy is the giant wolf. Heart Fairy is the dog, but the Heart Guardian is the wolf.
That's right. You come across the wolf again, if I'm thinking correctly. The wolf has Audrey's sword. Audrey immediately becomes hashtag triggered and starts like just going full throttle after the wolf. So you kind of chase the wolf up a mountain and... And Audrey convinces you to fight the wolf, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So you go into battle with Audrey with the wolf, and then because at first you're going to sing to it, but of course that doesn't quite work. And then,
well, it goes and you start singing
at the beginning before you start fighting him. But then at the end you're trying to, you know, I think Audrey gets her sword back and is just going to lay into it. The bard's trying to remind her and she just.
Yeah, we're going to deal non-fatal blows here. We're trying to
Because for those listening, if you don't know, we kind of skipped over that Audrey promised that she was going to be good and that she wasn't going to kill any more overseers.
Yes.
I think was the other promise. And
You get the overseer down to a point where he's like going to go and talk to it, and the overseer is completely white. I don't know what that actually means in it, but like all the darkness of its form is gone. And then she's like, you know what? Slice.
Yeah.
And the bard's like, what the frick?
Yeah. Because she made the promises and you know, the bard pointed out, they were like, the wolf was obviously scared. Like, he's not, you know, because Audrey was saying he hurt us, and the bard was like, he's not hurting us. He's scared. You know, because he knew that Audrey would try and kill him with the sword. So, you know, the bard was trying to talk her out of it. Plus, she made the promises, and she did it anyways. So, did you guys expect this? Did this surprise you in the least?
Yes and no.
Yeah.
Slightly. But, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Still unforgivable, though.
Yeah.
She killed the dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I didn't think about that. I didn't think about that. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I see. Did you expect her to change? Like, I mean, obviously you guys said that you believed her, kind of. So yeah, as Frank said, it was
more
kind
hoping
of,
for her to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I was more disappointed in the fact that she didn't keep her word.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You would think that would be one trait that a quote unquote hero would adhere to, right?
Yeah.
That would pretty much disqualify you being a hero if you don't keep your word.
Yeah. So, just to kind of, I'm not going to hit like every point from here on out, but just kind of, you know, you have to find the Dream King still. That's the final overseer.
Yep.
So you go after the Dream King. Miriam joins you again. You find the Dream King, and he's very apathetic. And
he's Audrey, the same jerk he's always been.
Yeah, on the Dream King. God, very, very cat-like. Very cat-like. You know, he's just kind of accepting of his fate. Audrey drops in, the hero, quote unquote, and. You know, of course, it's going to take him out like she did all the others. You go ahead, Kevin.
Oh, and you get to meet all the fairies before.
Yeah. So you go into battle against Audrey with Miriam at your side, trying to steal Audrey's sword. And the Dream King is attacking her as well. So how did you guys, you know, because I mean, it's pretty much this fight, which I think was done really well, like in how the fight was laid out, I guess I could say, like in the crescendo of the attacks.
I think before we go too deep into the fight.
Sure.
One of the more important things too was how kind of Miriam, quote unquote, confessed her love to the bard, you know, kind of her feeling guilty and apologizing for leaving him, where she could have stayed and helped him with the heart overseer, and how she, you know, she was saying how she felt like garbage for leaving him, and
yeah.
She got scared because she has feelings for him and everything, and
cares about him.
Or yeah,
I didn't. I yeah,
cares.
I didn't.
More cares.
I, I didn't pick it up as like that. She was saying that she loved him as like a relational kind of thing.
Yeah, but she did.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that she had cared for him, and that you know, he was kind of her first real friend that she's ever had. So
thank you for bringing that up. That was a lovely conversation. I just love any conversation that the two of them have together, like just like one-on-one, because again, it's just written really well, and just the back and forth, and like if you can keep talking to her and keep talking to her, and it just kind of gets deeper and deeper, and you know, gosh, and I just love like, and like, it kind of hit me like, I mean, I kind of always thought this, but like, it's just as much Miriam's story as it is the Bard's.
Yeah.
Because it's about her opening up. Like, the Bard is dealing with, you know, self-importance and finding your purpose and finding the worth inside of you, while Miriam is dealing with, like, opening up to people and kind of the same things as the Bard is, but kind of on a different level. And I just think that they balance each other really well as, like, two characters, as two... I mean, gosh, I mean, I'd almost say, I mean, like, I guess the main protagonist is the Bard, but I still think that the story is as much about Miriam's transformation and her dealing with things as it is with the Bard dealing with things.
Yeah.
That was a good moment. It was a good moment. And, like, when you're visiting her, because, like, at the end when you're visiting everyone and... you get to see, I'm trying to think of her name, but Miriam's grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And Safi. And Safi kind of opens up to the Bard and says, you know, you really, you know, helped her. You know, she's kind of, you know, she's a different person. You know, she really cares for you. You know, she cares about you, and you really kind of open her up, you know, and help change her view of the world a bit. One of my favorite conversations in the game.
Yeah.
So getting to that final battle, so against pretty much the hero, how did you guys feel about that? Like, how did you feel about not fighting, like, I mean, not really, like, going against something that's, like, scary and evil, but going against Audrey.
Well, right, you're just...
Well, Audrey is kind of scary and evil, and then she's able... She can zap things with a giant... with essentially Cloud's sword.
Let's dissect that a bit. So, without the sword, which is what we saw of Audrey down in the cave-in... it's almost, I mean, you could almost say that it's kind of an example of how power can change a person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good analogy.
I think a lot of good people, if given the right amount of power, could become, quote unquote, what some see as bad people.
I'm not even sure if she was really super great of a person in the first place.
We have no idea, though.
It sort of seemed like she felt kind of lonely. Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, but that doesn't mean that she's a bad person. She just said that she was insignificant, which that could be anyone. I've felt insignificant at times. Everyone has felt insignificant at times. And I think especially taking a person that feels that way and giving them that, like, unlimited power almost is... I think it's just a recipe to what she is at this point in the game. And that's another thing to think about is that, like, you know, because obviously everyone celebrates her because they don't know who the hero is. They just know that she saves the day and she's there and she's taking the credit and, oh, you know, Miriam obviously doesn't like her. And the Bard is really the Bard, after everything's said and done, says to Miriam, you know, she's not bad. She's just misunderstood. Yeah. And then Miriam replies, well, you would, like, something to the effect of, you know, you would think that. That would be something you would think.
Right. Well, that's in general. Yeah.
He basically ended up saying, like, coming from you, at least the way I read it, that, like, coming from you, that still means not a
good... Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah.
Or that she's, like, evil.
So that's something to... Right, well, that's what Miriam thinks. Miriam thinks that she's evil. The bard does not think that. And so you kind of have to kind of decide for yourself what you think, you know? I think it's an interesting turn to, and I just kind of want, like, and you guys can comment here of what the creator was trying to get through to the player of making the hero pretty much the bad guy.
Yeah, I don't know. That's probably one of my problems with the ending and the hero's arc, and it just didn't. It never resolved itself. It's like you never find out, why is she doing this stuff?
That heroes aren't always the ones that expect them to.
I guess, but it was like,
and that sometimes doing the same thing that always happens is the same thing over and over again is not always the best way to go about things. Because it essentially sounds like that forever, how long it was, they've been going and basically once the universe gets really old, they go and have this hero quest, and the hero comes, goes around, kills all the
overseers.
Overseers.
Yeah.
The universe starts over again.
Yep. That's.
We don't know how long this has been going on, but it's probably been for a pretty long time.
Yep. That's what the game pretty much lays out. I think, and so there have been countless times, because they didn't give us a number, of the hero saving the day. Or not saving the day, but ending the world so the world could start again, of sorts. Which is that saving the day, even? I don't know.
It essentially almost seems like basically like giving the world assisted suicide.
Yeah.
Because otherwise the overseers would just turn dark. And then they would all just send a bunch of monsters and make everybody's lives miserable until
that's kind of true. I kind of agree with Kevin in that, I do see your point, Frank. Like, I think that they should have. I kind of like that they kept it open of, what happened to the hero after this was over. Who knows? Everyone still thinks she's great because, obviously, there's nothing for them to think differently. And the bard is definitely not going to say anything, because he doesn't think that she's bad, just misunderstood. But again, it's about who is the actual hero? Is it the person that's being proclaimed the hero, or is it the person that's not the hero? Right. Is he the hero, or are they the hero? I mean,
it was kind of the thing where you had at the end, after the end. I mean, you have a final conversation, or the opportunity to have a final conversation with everybody in the world except the hero.
She's MIA, what is Audrey doing now?
Exactly.
I mean, she still had the sword. I mean, she could do what she wanted to, but I guess it was never. Well, no, she doesn't have the sword because Miriam took it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but I thought Miriam takes it, and then the hero grabs the sword and slices Dream King, and then the universe explodes.
Oh, that's right. She does in a final act of turning against, like, what you want her to be, you take the sword. I forgot about that. You take the sword from her, or Miriam does, and you're like, oh, the Dream King is safe. And so the bard's talking to her and being like, the sword isn't what, pretty much saying the sword isn't what makes you a good person.
You don't have to do what your destiny is supposed to be.
Right, and that being a hero is just a title. because she kind of put her identity into it, which in a way it's like that would be really hard not to do. Like if everyone is telling you that you're a hero and, you know, the universe, the representative of the universe is saying you're a hero, then how can you not be like, this is who I am? Especially if you're someone who considered herself insignificant before. But I rest my case. I won't get back onto that horse. So she takes the sword and she says, that's not enough. And yeah, I forgot about that. So she does have the sword. So she's just out there with the sword somewhere. Wonder Song Part 2. I give it a different name. Like, not Wonder Song. Like, no song.
Taking down Audrey.
Yeah, but honestly, like, I don't... Yeah, I mean, like, I don't want to see her taken. Like, I just want her to change. That's all. Like,
we all thought she changed at the cave, and that's the whole, you know, point. That's like, why did she do a double reverse? Audrey. You know,
consumed by power.
I guess.
Yeah. So so beyond all that, you sing the Earth song. Everyone in the world helps sing with you, because like the Dream King's dead. And so like, it seems like that's not going to work, but, you go to the bell tower, which is a really cool scene. You start ringing the bell and it's all black and white. And it's like,
yeah, amazing. I didn't know what to do at first with that.
Yeah. It's yeah. Took yeah.
A second.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no indication. There's no,
there's nothing. Figure it out for yourself.
Yeah, and then the entire world, it shows, like, all the different towns singing with you. And then at the end, it shows everyone in this, like, group shot. And it has Miriam singing as well, who never sings. And who at the beginning of the journey would literally snap the bard's head off for singing.
Yep.
Not literally, no. Figuratively, she would get really angry. And then that's like, and then like the credits roll and, you know, you get to visit all the places. Miriam takes you on a whirlwind adventure so you can talk to a bunch of different people as the credits roll. So what'd you guys think? What'd you guys think of the ending and like credits and like talking to everyone? Oh, he's so happy. I loved it.
Yeah,
The only thing that I didn't really like, was the fact that you didn't get to see what happened to the hero.
Yeah,
Because it's almost like everyone. I don't want to say like everyone was redeemed because no one did anything that required redemption.
Yeah,
but I think it felt like the story at some point was leading to the redemption of Audrey, or at least not necessarily redemption, but realizing that she doesn't that she's powerful enough on her own, and you know that she doesn't need this absolute power to be someone, you know, and. To me, it's kind of sad that they left it off that way. She had no no real closure at that point.
Yeah.
During the whole sequence, I'm just anticipating that final conversation that never happens.
I can understand that. To me, like my first playthrough, especially, like it really rang to me, like. Like after her betrayals and after she kind of left the story without learning anything, Audrey did. I kind of was like, I know people like this. Like I know people that wouldn't get it either. That wouldn't, they need that power and they need that kind of they need that assurance of power and the assurance of people loving them and the assurance of people. And no matter hearing all the TED Talks in the world or hearing as many people tell them, like, you know, you're not your job, you're not all the money that you're making, you're not, you know, they would never get it.
Yeah.
And I agree. I agree that it's sad. And I think you do, you, I think that they I think that they could have even stuck with that, like stuck with she didn't learn anything, because that's just how life goes sometimes, but kind of still gave you a closure of like, this is what happened to the hero, you know, yeah. Like, what is the hero doing now? She's, you know, maybe even like a hint at maybe still there's a redemptive possibility, you know? Maybe she runs into another good natured person that tries to change her.
Yeah. Or, you know, be like the ending of Dodgeball where she gains all the weight back and, you know,
the ending of what?
Dodgeball.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Where he gains all the weight back.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. And so, yeah, no, but I get that. And then like, so, I mean, did everyone stay through all the credits? Did anyone get to, I mean, it seems like, was that you, Kevin? Like, did someone get to the special ending?
Yeah, I got really to
ending, special area.
Yeah. Yeah. The special area, which was annoying because I completely misread one of my symbols. So basically you have to go to where Broggles, the cat, mm-hmm. is in the beginning of the game, at that one,
You go left instead of right when you first wake up out of your house.
Yeah, so you have to go there at the end of the game because there's a bird outside of your house. So you have to go mm-hmm. over there. You see the symbols in your sky, and then you go into the one thing. And then you end up seeing Gord, M, mm-hmm. and Greg. Mm-hmm. So Gord goes and talks about the music and how mm-hmm. he is actually having a kid that was supposed to be. Yep. I think he already had the kid.
Good.
And then, and like about like sound design and, mm-hmm. Like what inspired some of the stuff. And then it says that it activates the developer commentary, which are little bubbles and stuff.
Yeah.
Throughout the levels.
Yeah.
You just talk to, which
it's not like an important area, but it's just really interesting. I teared up, especially with him, because I've heard Greg speak about it before, but like, you know, who's a creator, and then Gord, you know, did the music and did the sound design and a few other things. But like hearing Gord talk about it, about how, you know, he was kind of in a dark place when he was when he started working on this, and then like working on the game, like just being in that dark place kind of made him see like the worth, like how important this game was and the message this game, you know, was at the time, especially what's happening, you know, what was happening in society at the time or happening in, you know, so yeah. Yeah. It's just a fun little area where you can talk to the, you know, hear some things about developing different parts of the game. Just very cute. Very hard to get to, though. Like, as I said, like, I found the symbols at the end. So I was like, oh, these go to the cat that I saw. So I went back to the cat. I gave him, and then, like, I didn't understand. I thought it was going along with the colors, like, the colors of the symbols, which it kind of does, but then kind of doesn't.
It goes along with the colors of that.
The overseas. Yeah, yeah. And so
I mixed up my world darkness one or whatever and the wind.
Yeah.
So I'm like, why is it not going? And then the video I watched that was actually showed the person doing it had done the exact same thing as me.
I tried it for a good 10 minutes and I was like, I'll just look up a video. This is fun. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, at the end, when the credits roll, you're at your house, right? You used.
Yeah.
I tried the bird in both directions and it just ends in the, you know, it just comes to a dead screen.
You have to.
You have to sing.
You have to reveal
the symbols.
Yeah.
No matter what you sing, you just have to sing. It's at the place that has like the colored trees.
You go to the left of the house. You can enter into a new screen. It's a bunch of trees, and you sing there, and then the symbols are in the sky. Yes.
And you can't use people's screenshots because each password is different.
Different for everyone.
Okay.
So, all right. So, we'll get to, is talk about with this before we go into final thoughts and scoring? Okay.
Did any of you guys, or where did you guys end up having your explorer from the Witch's City end up going?
He ended up in the town where the band started.
Yeah,
I put him on the pirate ship.
He's on the pirate ship. I think mine was where. No! Mine was at the place with the people had the kin, the animals for with them.
The D-bag place.
Yeah.
Well. <D-bag place.
laughs> Wow. Okay. So nothing else. We'll go into final thoughts and scoring for Wonder Song as a whole. So we will start at the top. Frank?
Okay. A good, pretty good game. The only pitfall, I guess, maybe is a tad longer maybe than it had to be. I don't know. If I had to pick something, that says, is what was your least favorite thing about the game? Maybe, there wasn't much variance in what you were doing, but it was, they just made subtle changes to the way you use your song and stuff like that. So maybe that's my only complaint, I guess, if I had to have one. But other than that, no, this, as usual, the story, makes up for a lot of sins. And just that and wish they had a better resolution with the hero. I just don't know where did they just sort of like decide not to resolve it? I don't know. So overall, and it had a dog, so 8.5. Yeah. Can you hear? Sorry.
Yeah. Final thought. It's a really well written game. It had its share of some bugs and glitches, but that's just expected with any video game. Nothing really game breaking or anything. I had a lot of characters I really loved. Miriam and the Bard are super great characters. I loved Miriam's entire arc. There was a lot of cute animals, especially with the various guardian or fairies and everything. The overall message of the messages of the game, too many to really mention, were good. And I really enjoyed playing it. It seemed to drag a little. The later acts got a little bit longer. I wish they had shortened them up a little bit, or broke them into smaller acts. But that's basically my only complaint. I'd have to give it a 10 out of 10.
Wow! Nice.
Yeah. So for me, I don't know. It's It's kind of hard because I was going through as I'm playing it, and I'm like, it's kind of it's an interesting game, and it's kind of hard to, for me, kind of hard to kind of score because it's I guess it's kind of like unlike anything that we've really played before in a way. It's I don't know. It's just hard to describe. It's a good story. The game mechanics are, I think, something you haven't really seen before, and can be a little annoying at times as well. And I don't know if that was because I was playing it on the Switch or if it was any different on the PC. But yeah, I think what really carried it though was the story itself. And yeah, it's such a unique kind of experience and game to play that it's kind of hard to really describe. But it's quirky and it's fun, and you know, I feel, yes, it is long, but I feel like I got my money's worth from the game itself. I was definitely expecting this to be, you start playing it and it's a quick little thing, but it went on for a good, it was about 12, 13, 14 hour game.
Yeah.
So I feel like I definitely got my money's worth. Yeah, it could have been trimmed down a little bit here and there, but I think they did a pretty good job overall. There's really not much more I can say. It's like they had a really good, I think this was the most amount of dogs that we've had in a game in quite a while, even though some of them did have antlers and stuff like that. Yeah. In there, but still, like, these were all good dogs and they all loved you. Yeah. and you got to help other people make friends with the dogs. So I think that was a great success. But yeah, overall, I think, yeah, for me, it would probably be an 8.5.
Mm-hmm. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Great. I'm on my phone. surprise. Again, this is like my third playthrough of the game. I loved it ever since I played it last year. The story still surprised me, like, as I was playing it, and I still kind of, I guess, mind things from the story and from the conversations, even in the third playthrough, than I did the other two or three, or two, yeah. I still kind of experience different aspects of the conversations and the story, even in this playthrough, as I did with the first one. I think the dialogue is expertly written. The characters are engaging and fun and interesting. I love the aspect of the story, or several aspects of the story, I guess, like with the, you know, with the whole, not being a hero, like no one seeing you as a hero, but you're the hero of the story, the hero of your own story. And with the hero, Audrey, just being so complex and kind of realistic, I guess. And just the different conversations that revolve around that, and just, there were just so many things, and there's so many, like, I think important issues brought up in this game that, similar to, you know, like something like A Night in the Woods, you know, that issues brought up that were handled in a way that were still
relevant and still interesting and you still recognize them as such, but wasn't heavy. It wasn't heavy-handed and also wasn't done in a dark way that made it depressing. You know, but just covered several, you know, several issues that we still handle in society today and in our culture today. But yeah, and just that this game was, you know, kind of spurred from what was it? Like a 5-month bike trip that the creator took a few years ago. You know, and just the people involved with it were just so passionate about the project and everything that I've heard. It's just freaking amazing. And I've even little tiny things, like, you know, and I agree with you guys that, like, I do think that there could have been a way that they could have, like, kind of tied a bow on the hero's story and kind of showed you, as they did with everyone else, of what happened to her post-journey. I give it a 10 out of 10. Yeah. So, thank you guys for chatting with me, and sorry if my mic quality changed towards that end because I'm now on an iPod headset. Yeah, so next week we are talking about our month chat game for March, which is Beyond Good and Evil, which was brought out, I think, back in 2003. Is it the PS2, Chris, or the PS3? PS2, right?
PS2 and GameCube.
PS2 and GameCube, and it's also available on PC now if you don't have those older systems still. But yeah, that's like, I think I looked it up today because I've only played like an hour of it. It's only like 15, like I think completionist, it said like 13 to 14 hours. So not that extremely long of a game if you are like me and waited to the last minute, as we always do. Also, on March the 28th, yeah, I think I put that wrong somewhere. March the 28th, on a Thursday, we're talking about Dragon Age Origins, since we had to move it up from last week due to procrastination on everyone's part. And then, like, starting April the 2nd, we'll be talking about, for 2 weeks, we'll be talking about Everyone's Gone to the Rapture.
Yes.
And which is kind of I had a description written out, but everything's not on my computer anymore. I don't have a million windows open. But it's kind of a walking sim where you're investigating in a town, not investigating, but you're a person in a town where everyone has mysteriously disappeared. But yeah, so again, thank you for joining us. You can find us at thegamechat.net, as well as our podcast on Stitcher, Google Play, and iTunes. And until next week, I'll chat at you later. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.